I'll be all right. Have you ever wrestled with a difficult question, only to realize you may have been asking the wrong question? Throughout Scripture, we read of people asking wrong questions. Job's friends asked wrong questions. So did Martha and the disciples. Why should we be any different? Peter Drucker, the father of modern management, wrote, "The most serious mistakes are not being made as a result of wrong answers. The truly dangerous thing is asking the wrong questions." This is not to suggest we don't ask questions, but it serves as a reminder that wrong questions often lead to wrong conclusions. Not long ago, I was sitting where you are sitting, bouncing back and forth between the questions, should I be baptized by immersion, and why? I'd been baptized as an infant, and here I was 44 years later, facing a question and a decision I had not anticipated. We had been attending Faith for 2 years, and a new pastor was encouraging us to spend time praying and studying the Scriptures to see what God says about baptism, with a promise that He will answer your questions. Flashing forward to just a few months ago, as we prayed and debated the list of big questions, eventually narrowing the list to these initial 12 that we've been leading you through, the questions were clear to me in my mind for all but one topic. Here we are toward the end of the series, Big Questions, Biblical Answers, and a new pastor, along with relatively new elders, have asked me to preach on that one topic, baptism, with a promise that God's word answers the questions. What is the big question when it comes to baptism? Is it as simple as the question, should I be baptized by immersion? Or is there something more? All those years ago, I began to realize the question, should I be baptized, was the wrong question. Come with me as we pursue the question of baptism through Scripture. Perhaps we will discover a better question. Let's pray. Father, you are my Father, and I am your Son, and I ask that you would father me this morning. I do not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I share this message that you've given from Scripture. All I know is Jesus and Him crucified. I come in weakness and great fear and trembling. Rather than one of persuasive words, may this message be a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that our faith rests on you alone. Amen. Before we consider whether there may be a better question, let's lay a foundation for baptism by turning to Scripture to address a series of good questions. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, let's read verses 1 to 4. Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What is baptism? What does it mean? Paul's fundamental meaning in these verses is the identification of a believer with Christ as pictured through baptism into the body of Christ at the moment of conversion. Water baptism, the public mark of faith in God, is symbolic of a personal and vital identification with Jesus. Since we are united by faith with him, verse 4's buried with him through baptism means his death, burial, and resurrection become ours. Baptism is a testimony of salvation, and there can be no salvation absent the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father calls us to saving faith. Jesus Christ died that we might be forgiven for our sins, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Through Scripture, we begin to understand that believers' baptism is not a saving act. It is an act of obedience, signifying we believe in Jesus. We intentionally die symbolically as we sink beneath the waters he was buried in. We are raised with Christ as we come up out of the water and publicly testify that we belong to and live for him. Who should be baptized? Scripture is clear. Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Baptism is for those called by God who repent from their sin and believe with all their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on a cross to save them from their sin. What about this word repent? It's easy to gloss over. Even in the church, we tend to shy away from or avoid it altogether. Repentance is no mere academic change of mind, nor mere regret or remorse. The repentance John the Baptist spoke of, in fact, the repentance the entire Bible speaks of, is a radical turning from sin that inevitably becomes manifest in righteousness. This is a gift from God. When we truly repent, we radically turn away from sin, and the way we now live for God becomes evident to everyone. Everyone who repents and believes in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin should be baptized. Peter's reply in Acts 2:38 is proof. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. When should one be baptized? Baptism should take place as soon after genuine conversion as possible. Believers do not need to wait until they prove mature enough for commitment to Jesus by years of faithful service. It's never too late for a genuine believer to be baptized. What is baptism's significance? Why does it matter? Jesus did not need to repent. In obedience to the Father, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness when he was baptized. And so do we when we are baptized. Baptism reflects an understanding of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Spirit signifies a new birth, as verse 4 so aptly ends, that we too may live a new life. This speaks of the believer's regeneration. There is a new quality and character to our lives. Whereas sin describes our old life, righteousness describes the new. The new birth happens once, is for all believers. It's an instantaneous act of God at salvation, bringing us into union with Christ and placing us in the body of Christ as the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. The ordinance of baptism is a symbol of our union with God, done to honor God, the one to whom you are surrendering your life. So this brings us to the question of how should we be baptized and why immersion? Our understanding of how we should baptize and why that is by immersion comes from the meaning of the word in the New Testament and the stories of baptism in Scripture. It's almost universally accepted that the original way of baptizing people in the beginning years of the church was by immersing them completely in water. We were about to see baptism could not be anything else, for the word means to immerse. There are godly movements within the Christian church who disagree with our understanding of how baptism should be administered and who it is for. They hold to a high view of Scripture, but come away believing something different than we do about baptism. For those with differing traditions, this is not a question of salvation. If baptism is not a matter of salvation, what is it that we are questioning? We are questioning what God's word says, because what God's word says matters. In the New Testament, the only Greek word used to refer to baptism is baptizo, which means to dip into and out of a liquid. It denotes the total immersion of something into water. Among the difficult topics within the conversation on baptism is the issue of translation. By the time the Bible was translated into English, most of the church was baptizing by some other way than immersion. This presented a problem for the translators of the Scriptures. How do we say what the New Testament church did without contradicting what the current church does? The answer is transliteration, the process of transferring a word from the alphabet of one language to another. The Greek word baptizo was transliterated into the word baptize. If our English versions translated the word into English, it would read immerse. It's worth noting in the New Testament, we find words meaning to dampen with liquid, to sprinkle, and to pour. It is significant that none of these words are ever used in Scripture to describe baptism. Furthermore, in the stories of baptism throughout Scripture, we see much water was necessary. We take time to teach what we believe about baptism because there are serious differences. We are glad to call Bible-believing Christians who truly follow Christ our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they have a different understanding regarding baptism. We love them, but we do not agree with them, as our conviction is that Scripture teaches baptism by immersion is for believers only. Having established what baptism means, who should be baptized, why it matters, and how we should be baptized, we can turn our attention to the question, should a believer be baptized by immersion? In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, the Apostle Peter declares, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." Perhaps in the case of baptism, the question isn't what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? Should a believer be baptized by immersion? Yes. Why? Jesus was baptized. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, the first 12 verses, we hear John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord by imploring people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Then beginning at verse 13, we read, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" John's baptism is a preparation for the coming kingdom, and Jesus had come to inaugurate that kingdom. Jesus' baptism is his own preparation of the kingdom that he himself is about to introduce. Did Jesus have to be baptized? Yes. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He is our high priest, and his baptism was an important part of preparing him for the sacrifice he would make to atone for our sins. He calls us to follow him in life and in death. The baptism of Jesus was an important moment, not only for Jesus, it was important for God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So important that this is one of the rare occasions in the Bible where God the Father speaks in an audible voice. If the baptism of Jesus was important for the Father, Son, and Spirit, how much more important is it for you and I? Should a believer be baptized by immersion? Yes. Because he died, I die. Because he rises, I rise. Because he lives, I can live and face tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, we don't get baptized for the same reasons as Jesus. We get baptized because he was baptized, and we are to follow him. Once again, we respond to the question, should a believer be baptized by immersion? Yes. Why? As a step of obedience. Jesus models a decisive, obedient response to God's will. We see this clearly in Matthew 3, verse 13, which we just read, that says Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized by John. Obedience to God the Father is a theme that runs throughout Scripture. It's evident in the baptism story of Jesus and the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. The Ethiopian eunuch gave orders to stop the chariot, declaring, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" He gave those orders because the Scripture instructed him to. Such is the nature of true obedience to God. Baptism by immersion is an outward demonstration of the inward reality of Jesus Christ in your life. The final words of Jesus before he ascends to heaven are found in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. You know them well. And they read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" The kind of evangelism called for in this commission does not end with the conversion of the unbeliever. That is just the beginning. Here in the Great Commission, we see that making disciples, baptism, and teaching to obey are important to God. Jesus was baptized, and baptism is something he commands us to do. We ought to take this seriously and obey. Of course, a command and a promise of this magnitude are going to be resisted. Not only by Satan, who wants to be God, but also by our flesh in its desire to be the God of our lives. Anglican pastor John Stott said, "Pride is your greatest enemy, humility your greatest friend." It's impossible to confess our sins if we're not humble enough to recognize and acknowledge them. And when we confess, repent, and believe, he commands us to be baptized. Why does God command it? When you get baptized, you're doing so as a sign that you surrender, that you are coming under the authority, the sovereignty, and the headship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the opposite of living under authority? Rebellion. To knowingly disobey God and not be moved to repentance is a sign of not being a follower of Jesus Christ. Dear ones, I did not say refusing to be baptized by immersion is a sign of not being a genuine believer. I did say to knowingly disobey God and not be moved to repentance is a sign of not being a follower of Jesus Christ. Should a believer be baptized? Yes. Jesus was baptized, and we are to surrender to and obey him. If we as a church do not emphasize baptism by immersion to all who are disciples of Christ, we rob them of a blessing from God. We disobey the Great Commission, we rebel against coming under his authority, and diminish the importance of baptism. I opened this morning by describing the to be baptized by immersion or not to be baptized dilemma Linda and I found ourselves in, facing not so long ago. What was the real reason to be baptized by immersion? Was it so we could become members and use the gifts God's given us to serve others in this family? Was it so we would be eligible to say yes if someday God called us to serve him as ministry leaders within his family here at Faith? Or was it so I might be eligible to say yes if someday God called me to serve the people of Faith as a deacon or, heaven forbid, an elder? Frankly, if I'm honest, and I know some of you are going to relate to what I'm about to share, getting baptized, becoming members, and the subsequent pressure to get more involved that we presumed would follow, not to mention the possibility of getting closer to and potentially getting hurt by people here, prevented us from following, obeying, and submitting this part of our lives to Jesus. We were asking ourselves the wrong questions and drawing the wrong conclusions. And then something deeply personal and meaningful happened. As we prayed and studied the scriptures, we came upon Peter's first sermon in Acts 2. In verses 22 to 36, Peter clearly presents and defends Jesus as the Messiah from the Old Testament and makes it stunningly clear, you killed him. It is good to be reminded that the fact that crucifixion was predetermined by God does not absolve the guilt of those who caused it. You crucified him as a serious charge laid against each one of those in Peter's audience on that day. A charge that can be made against each one of us today. We are guilty, and the consequences of our guilt are serious. They are a matter of life and death. Our response matched the grief, remorse, and intense spiritual conviction of those in Peter's audience. Acts 2, verse 37 declares, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart." The Greek word for pierced means to stab, denoting something sudden and unexpected. We were pierced to the heart, and for the first time in a long time, our gaze moved from ourselves to Jesus as his body was being taken off the cross. We were stunned, just as Peter's listeners were, by this indictment that we had killed our Messiah. Should I be baptized is the wrong question, because it's all about me. Our lives are supposed to be about Jesus. All we could do is cry out with a better question. What shall we do? Oswald Chambers asks, "Are you willing to surrender your grasp on all that you possess, your desires, and everything else in your life? Are you ready to be identified with the death of Jesus Christ? When you see yourself in the light of the Lord, the shame, horror, and desperate conviction will pierce your heart." Having been pierced to the heart by who we are and what we have done, and knowing who Jesus is, his grace, his love, and what he has done for us, all we could utter and all we should utter is, "What shall we do?" Perhaps God is piercing your heart this morning one more time, or for the very first time. Peter's answer that day is the same we must give today. Repent and be baptized. We did repent, and shortly thereafter, we were baptized by immersion here at Faith. Ever since we followed, surrendered, and obeyed Jesus in this way, our lives have been blessed in countless ways. To name but one, I would not be standing here before you having the extraordinary privilege of preaching the Word of God had I not followed, surrendered to, and obeyed Jesus by stepping into the waters of baptism. As I close, to those of you who have not yet believed and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to consider God's love, His forgiveness, and His free gift of grace as so aptly described in the hymn, "Grace Greater Than All Our Sin." Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? And should the Holy Spirit pierce your heart, may you find yourself asking the question, "What shall I do?" Jesus is calling you to repent and be baptized. If today is that day you first believed, come and tell us. We would love to hear you, lead you through a Next Steps class, and pray with you. To those believers who have not been baptized, or perhaps like me, you had not been baptized by immersion, I pray the Holy Spirit would pierce your heart and you might find yourself unable to do anything but cry out, "What shall I do?" Jesus is calling you, as His disciple, to repent and be baptized. If today is the day Jesus is calling you to follow Him into the waters of baptism, come and tell us. We would love to hear you, lead you through a Next Steps class, and pray with you. And to those believers who have been baptized by immersion, myself included, every single day we should find ourselves pierced to the heart by what Jesus did on the cross to forgive us of our sins. May we never get over it and continually find ourselves asking the question, "What shall I do?" Each new day, our personal and collective response should be to follow, surrender, and obey the One who saved us, thereby declaring with our mouths and believing in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was baptized as a step of obedience. Stepping into the waters of baptism by immersion is a glorious opportunity to follow, surrender, obey, and be blessed by Him. Let's pray. Abba, Father, if there is anyone listening who has never trusted You to be their Savior, stir their heart to do so now. Your word says today is the day of salvation, and anyone who comes in belief You will receive, for You are not willing that any should perish. Lord Jesus, help our belief. Help us to acknowledge we are sinners who cannot save ourselves. Help us to confess our sin, repent, ask for forgiveness, and ask You to come into our lives. We need You in our lives. We need You to be our Savior. Come into our hearts. Change us from the inside out. Your word says that when we believe and receive You, the old things pass away and all things become new. Make us new, Father, that we might be the change You bring to our relationships, our families, our homes, our workplaces, this Your church, and this our community. Transform us to serve you for your glory. May we never walk away from the one who saved our lives. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.